Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. Excited to be with you to continue in our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. You can open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew in the New Testament and chapter number 6. And the Lord's Prayer starts in verse 9. So we'll start with me praying, and I ask that you join your hearts with me in prayer. And then at the end, I ask that you would join your voices with me in praying together the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer will be up on the screen, and we'll close out my praying time by all praying together the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray together. God, we ask that you would come and be our teacher now. Thank you for inviting us to your table, for making a way for us to not be your enemies, but to be your friends. Thank you for your daily provision for us. And so, God, we pray that you would provide for us now through teaching. Would you teach us now? God, would the words that you are speaking through me be split into 1,000 different ways, into 1,000 different hearts that need moved and changed in this room, including my own. God, would you take these next couple minutes and use them to change us? Use them to change us, not just for our own sakes, but for your glory, so that you are worshiped more fully, loved more deeply, obeyed more exactly in our hearts. And so, God, as we pray this, we want to join our voices together in praying the Lord's Prayer together right now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be focusing on just one phrase in this prayer. And it's the phrase in verse number 11 that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's the portion of the prayer that reminds us that God is our provider. God is the one that gives us what we need every day. So the main idea that I want to teach to you, have sink deep into your hearts today, is that praying for our daily bread should move our hearts from self-reliance to God-reliance. Praying for our daily bread should move our hearts from self-reliance to God-reliance. A lot has happened in our world since Jesus first taught this prayer to his disciples, and we are more and more tempted to turn away from God as the one that provides our daily needs and turn to ourselves as the one that God that provides for our daily needs. There's just a loud call all around us and within us to trust in ourselves and not trust in God for the things we need every day. Kind of reminds me of a conversation I had about a year ago with Matt Varney. Everyone know Matt and Kimber Varney? You know them? Are they here? I don't think they're here yet. I'm going to talk about them anyway. So you know they're like really into like being healthy and all that stuff and running and everything like that. So about a year ago, we did one of those babysitting swap things where like they would watch our kids for a night and then we watched their kids for a day. And so we were watching their kids, and what they decided to do on their time with when we had their kids was to go for a run together, which I guess that's what they do. And so they're like in the course of like training for like some like 400-mile marathon or something they're going to do while she's pregnant and everything. And while they're about to go, we start to ask them, you know, how do you keep going for all those miles and miles and miles of running? And Matt let us in on a little secret about how he can do it. You know, and when everything is telling him to stop and everything is telling him to give up and he still has to go and he's only on mile 350 of 400, you know, he says, I just start to say to myself, just don't die, just don't die, just don't die as I'm running. And somehow that helps him get to the point where he's able to keep going and keep running and finish the race and get to his goal. And so when we look at the Lord's Prayer, this one line in the Lord's Prayer that reminds us of God's provision, God is kind of giving us a slogan to repeat that keeps us going when everything else is telling us to stop. When everything around us and within us and all the things around us are telling us, trust in yourself, believe in yourself, and the music is so loud and all you're hearing in your culture and in your heart and in the world is it's you that's doing this. You're the one in charge. You're the one that's doing everything. The Lord's Prayer acts like that mantra that Matt says, just don't die, to keep him going. The Lord's Prayer, especially where it says, give us this day our daily bread. Every day when you pray that, God is giving us like a slogan or a mantra to repeat against quitting on trusting that God is our great provider. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, it helps us to keep going in our trust of God, to keep going that he is the one that is our daily provider. Left to ourselves, we would easily just give up trying and revert back to relying on ourselves. So Jesus gives this request in his model prayer. Seems as though everything within us and everything outside of us is pulling us to trust in ourselves as our provider instead of trusting in God. And this is not a new thing, even though I feel like there are some new temptations that we face now. But even before the Lord's Prayer was taught to the disciples, all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, God is teaching his people this same lesson in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read this passage to you. And man, this passage is so relevant to our lives, especially as Americans. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 to 20. It'll be on the screen behind me. This is Moses, and Moses is kind of getting his people ready to go into the promised land. And the book of Deuteronomy is kind of like a series of speeches that he gives to say, like, these are like the things that are really important I want you to know before I die and you guys go into the promised land. And this is one of the things that he says. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and rules and his statutes, which I have commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Now listen to this verse. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is today. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, we need to be solemnly warned today, that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, if this is the case in Old Testament Israel, right? I mean, just think of the differences between Old Testament Israel, which is like a agricultural society. It's like when you're eating your daily bread, it's like you remember that you had to plant the bread, and you remember that you were praying for rain to come, and you remember when the rain came, it was like, yes, we will live this year, right? And then you had to cook it, and you had to make it, and then you ate it, and that's what gave you life. And if it was so easy for them to forget that it was God that was providing for them, how much more so will it be for us to be, how much harder will it be for us to remember that it's God that's the one that provides our daily bread? Just think about all the things that fight against believing that God is our great provider. We have our culture. Our culture is very strong on the idea of, like, you're self-reliant, you do it yourself. Our movies celebrate these things. We have heroes that they've done it themselves, they've picked themselves up, and they've done great. Even America as a whole, you know, the way that our political system is set up, the way that everything's set up, we do this ourselves, we govern ourselves, we don't need people, we don't need a king to tell us what to do, which is why we revolted against England. You know, this is who we are. We do things ourselves. It's part of our culture. It's part of the entertainment that we drink. It's part of everything that's around us. It's what we teach our kids in school, right? You can do this. Have self-esteem. You have self-worth. You are the one that is going to do this. And then add to that our hearts, which are pulled towards being the God of our lives, saying, I'm doing this. It's me. It's all about me. It's all about myself and my desires and my power to do things. So you have your culture outside of you. You have your heart within you. And then you have the whispers of Satan who's saying, it's all about you. It's not about Jesus. It's all about you. It's not about Jesus. The result of all this is that many of us are so consumed with self-reliance that we aren't even aware that we're completely intoxicated by it. Our belief in ourselves as our provider and our daily needs instead of God as our provider of our daily needs is why I woke up this morning and I didn't thank God that he had provided a night's sleep for me. It's why my heart didn't swell with gratitude as I ate the breakfast that he provided for me this morning. It's why I didn't once in an entire week of going to work and making money so I can support my family, I didn't once stop to thank God for giving me that job in the first place, for giving me the ability to go to that job, or for keeping me healthy enough to go in every day this week. He provided my wife. He provided my children, my house, my van, my clothes, my food, my friends, my church, my fun and entertainment. Everything he actually provided for me, but I live like it is me that provides all of it. We give in to self-reliance so easily because its pull is so strong and our view of God is so small. We give in to self-reliance so easily because its pull is so strong and our view of God is so small. I want to read a couple passages from the New Testament that point to God as the provider of all things. Just let them sink into your hearts. The first one is from the book of Acts, and it's Paul talking to some people in Lystra, and they're people that never heard of God before, and Paul is saying to them, here's how you know that God exists. He says, Acts chapter 14, verse 17, yet he, being God, he did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. So Paul is saying to this pagan culture, hey, you know all that food that you've been eating? That's from God. And you know all that rain that's been coming down helping the crops grow? That's from God. And oh, by the way, everything that makes your heart glad, that's from God. That's what Paul is saying to these unbelievers. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 36, Paul says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, Paul says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus holds all things together. By all things, it means all things are held together by Jesus. That's my Greek knowledge coming out right there. All those years of seminary paying off. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Is this how you view God? Is this your worldview? Is this how you understand things around you? Is it Jesus that is holding all things together? Is it God that is providing all good things? It's almost like you read these passages and you think about it, it almost seems silly or funny to us to think about that. Like, what's holding the world together and what's keeping me from spinning off the earth? Well, it's gravity, not Jesus, right? Is it? It just seems like it's exaggerated or hyperbole. It's just, you know, oh yeah, it's God that's doing it. When really in the Bible, it's just like, no, everything, all things are from him. Every good thing is from him. That's how the Bible talks. But in our hearts, it's like, well, you know, maybe God does some spiritual things. Maybe God's involved in some, like, miraculous things, or it's something that we really, really can't do ourselves. But, I mean, for the most part, it's just us doing it. And then God occasionally jumps in here and there. So we need to ask ourselves, whose worldview are we going to take? The common sense approach? The heart's desire approach? The way we were taught in school approach? Or the way that the Bible talks about it approach? God, forgive us for seeing your word as silly and not ourselves as silly. We need your help. So God, who really is the great provider, has appropriately provided us with a tool to help us to remember that he is our provider. And that tool is the Lord's Prayer. It's the mantra that he gives us, like Matt's "just don't die, just don't die." He gives us, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread." So that no matter what our culture says, no matter what common sense says, no matter what our hearts say, no matter what Satan says, we resist their calls to self-reliance and insist that we will keep trusting in God as our provider. The Lord's Prayer is so much more than just a nice prayer model. Jesus is equipping us for battle. Our hearts are at stake, and they are too easily conquered by the sin of self-reliance. We must take up arms against relying on ourselves. Fight for your heart to fully rely on God as your provider. Fight by praying every day the Lord's Prayer. You know, this line is kind of redundant. Give us today our daily bread. It's like, give me today what I need today. There's something to be teaching us in that. Every day, pray the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray this Lord's Prayer, I want to encourage you that when you get to this line, give us this day our daily bread, it's almost tempting to see this as like the throwaway clause in the Lord's Prayer, like, because the other stuff is so like big and kind of like, whoa, like, your kingdom come, your will be done, protect us against the evil one, you know, like all these big things that are there in the Lord's Prayer, and then give us food. You know, it seems kind of mundane or boring almost. What this is it's a call to fight to see God as God in your life. It's far from boring, and it's very much needed in my heart, and I'm sure all of our hearts. Let your heart be moved to battle against self-reliance. So I want to, and part of the reason that God gives us the Lord's Prayer is to move our hearts in directions. So he wants us to first pray that his name would be hallowed so that we're not only thinking of ourselves first, right? And he wants us to be thinking of his kingdom coming and his will be done. So he's trying to teach us in the prayer. So we're teaching ourselves by praying. And one of the things that we're teaching ourselves is that he's the provider. And so we need our heart to be moved. And I want to focus on the way that our heart should be moved in three specific ways. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it should move our hearts to repent, to rely, and to rejoice. Move our hearts to repent, to rely, and to rejoice. First, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it should move us to repentance. Repentance means turning from one thing to another. It's our daily reminder that we need to turn away from relying on ourselves and turn towards relying on God. We need to pray that God would provide for all of our daily needs. We need to daily stop trusting in ourselves and ask for forgiveness for living like we are our own providers. When one of my kids was first trying to learn how to ride a bike, we kind of got into a little spat because he kept insisting that he could do it himself. So we took the training wheels off, and I wanted to, you know, hold the back and run alongside and push him and kind of coach him along and carry him through the process of riding a bike. And he was like, "I can do it myself, Dad. I can do it myself, Dad. I can do it myself, Dad." So I said, "Do it yourself then." And so he couldn't even get on the bike, and then he fell off right away, right? It's foolish and sinful for us to think we can live this life on our own and in our own strength. Are you tired yet of falling off your bike when you try to do it without trusting in God's care? We need to repent of thinking like we can do it all ourselves. When we pray every day, "Give us this day our daily bread," it is an opportunity for us to repent of the foolishness and sin of self-reliance. Another way that this little phrase leads us to repentance is this line, you know, have you noticed in the Lord's Prayer, all the ours, "Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins." It's a short prayer, but it has a lot of ours. Anyway, that was for Paul Thorpe. So this prayer is not just for individuals, it's for the church collective. It's for other people as well. It's to help you think about not just yourself, but other people. So the verse does not say, "Give me today my daily bread," does it? It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's moving us, it's moving our hearts to think not just of ourselves, but about other people as well. This means that we cared not just for our own daily needs being provided for by God, but other people's daily needs being provided for God as well. In the context of repentance, which we're talking about here, when we pray our daily bread, it forces us to remember that I am not the only one that needs daily bread, and I need to be praying for and working towards making sure that everyone else has their daily needs met as well. So when we pray this prayer every day, let it move your heart to repentance. Repent for the sin of self-reliance, and repent for not thinking of others in addition to yourself. In addition to letting this prayer move your heart to repentance, let the prayer also move your heart to rely on God and to rejoice in his provision. Praying every day that God would give us this day our daily bread moves our heart to rely more fully on God. Relying on God for our daily needs means that we trust that God will provide everything we need. It means, on one hand, not giving in to worry, and on the other hand, not giving in to laziness. Relying on God doesn't let us go either one of those directions. Not worrying means really living out what Jesus teaches in the next chapter on the Sermon on the Mount, which we already read this morning. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Relying on God to provide cures our worry, but it does not give us a license, on the other hand, to be lazy. As we have said many times from this pulpit, God works through our work, and he uses means to accomplish his ends. Some of these means include our prayers and our hard work. Relying on God is about our heart attitude towards him. The Bible uses the analogies of a potter using clay and a musician playing an instrument to illustrate this type of point. The clay and the instrument are means that the potter and the musician use. God will often use the clay of our prayers or the instrument of our hard work to provide for us, But the one that gets the credit for the vessel or for the song is the potter or the musician. So we pray every day that God would provide for our daily needs, allowing our hearts to be moved to rely more and more on Him as the ultimate provider of all things. So, praying the Lord's Prayer moves our heart to repent, to rely, and to rejoice. We have so much to be grateful for, don't we? Our hearts need to be filled with rejoicing as we think about all the ways God has provided for us. Today's weather will help us with this today. I want to just encourage you to take some time today and go outside, unless you have allergies, and stay inside. And just go outside and just take inventory of all the ways that God is providing for you, all the ways that God has given you good things. I mean, and be very general about it. You know, feel the warmth of the sun, hear the laughter of kids, feel the wind, smell the air, you know, see the trees, all those things. God has provided them for our enjoyment. Let that just fill your heart with gratitude, and then get specific into your own life. Your spouse, your kids, your friends, your neighborhood, your people that you hang out, the things that you enjoy. God has given all those things as gifts to you. And then after you do that today once, every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, pause for a moment at this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, to thank God that He has provided in so many ways. Let your heart be moved to rejoice in God's provision. Point out God's provision to your children. Be amazed at all that you have been given and share that wonder with the people you interact with. Our hearts and our children's hearts are so tempted to get bored and to take for granted things that we have been provided. So it's our job as parents and as people in our friends and in our families to be the people that point out those things, you know, to our kids. You know, look at that bird. Look how God has equipped it to fly and to live, and God's providing for that bird, and look how amazing it is, and that bird can do things that we can't do. Like, we can't fly, number one, and also we can't, like, go, like, 50 states away and then fly back again to the same spot, and all these things that God has provided this bird to do, and let things like that and talk like that, like, normal to your kids, and let their hearts be filled with wonder at how amazing God is. Let them be filled with just, like, this awe of God, you know, so that they're more amazed by God than they are about superheroes, and they are about other things that are out there that are amazing to them, and they see more beauty in God than they see in the people that they watch on TV and stuff like that, so that you're training them to be in wonder of God and of awe of Him, you know? Teach them to rejoice in God's provision is what I'm saying. Don't let them get bored with it, and don't let your hearts get bored with it. And how are you going to do that? You're going to pray every day, give us this day our daily bread, and every day it's going to remind you that God is the one that provides. Pray this prayer every day, asking that God would use it to move your heart towards repentance, towards reliance, and towards rejoicing. Now, it only seems appropriate that at the end of a sermon on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, we would go to the communion table. It's a meal, and it reminds us of all the other meals that God has provided for His people throughout redemptive history. Think about this. God provided fruit trees in the garden for Adam to eat. He provided the animals after the flood for Noah to eat. He shared a meal with Abraham. He provided grain through Joseph to Jacob and his family. He provided a Passover meal to the Israelites and daily food for them called manna in the wilderness. He provided a fertile land flowing with milk and honey, which is cows and plants, in the nation of Israel. He gave them feast days to celebrate with. Jesus provided food. He provided a meal for 5,000 people. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, a meal. After the resurrection, He fed the disciples breakfast. And then in the book of Revelation, it talks about heaven as a wedding feast where people come and eat. And describes a tree of life that bears fruit every month for us to eat. So when we eat and when we drink, remember that we stand in a long line of people that have been provided for by our great God. And we look forward to another meal someday that we will enjoy forever with all God's people for all eternity. But God has not only provided for our physical needs by providing us with food, has he? God has provided his only son, Jesus Christ, to us as well. Jesus is God and became man. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay the death penalty for our sins, and then rose back to life, forever conquering sin and death and hell. Anyone that turns from their sins and trusts fully in what he has done is forgiven, delivered, and accepted by God forever. This is how we know that God is our great provider. This is his provision that we hold in the highest regard. Which is why it is so appropriate that we come to the table that reminds us of his death after a sermon asking for daily bread. Jesus didn't just give us this meal as a reminder that God is our daily needs provider. Jesus gave us this meal to remind us that he was providing himself for us. We do need our hearts moved by the Lord's Prayer to repent of our self-reliance, to rely fully on God, and to rejoice that God is our provider of all of our daily needs. And we also need to repent of all of our sins, rely fully on Jesus for forgiveness, and rejoice that our great provider is also our great Savior. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for being the great provider, the one that gives us this day our daily bread. And so, God, we want to just take pause for a minute to repent of trusting in ourselves, to repent of thinking only of ourselves, to repent of thinking that we're the one that holds everything together, we're the one that provides for our family and for ourselves. To repent of thinking that you are so small that you just pop in once in a while. To repent of seeing you as not the one that provides for all things. So God, we say we're sorry. We confess that we are too easily conquered by self-reliance. God, we want to commit to relying fully on you, to trusting in you with all of our heart, and leaning not on our own understanding. We want to rely on you fully, so much that it gets to the point where we're not worried about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink and what we're going to wear, but knowing fully that you are going to provide those things. We want to get to the point where we work hard, yes, and we do things, and we pray, and we live our lives, and we're responsible, but all the while knowing that we're just the instruments that you're using. All the while really knowing, really, really knowing that you're the ultimate provider, not just giving lip service to it, but really believing it in the heart of our hearts. And God, lastly, we just want to take a moment to rejoice, to thank you. God, even when we have ignored you as the provider, you have still provided for us. Even when we have turned away from you, even after believing and trusting in you and being a Christian for so many years, we have ignored you as our provider. You have still provided for us. God, would your kindness lead us to rejoice? God, would you... We just want to say thank you to you. Maybe for the first time in a long time this morning, we want to say thank you for providing for us. Thank you that we can breathe. Thank you that we can eat. Thank you that we can stand and walk and talk. Thank you that we can see, live this life. Thank you that we're healthy enough to be here this morning. These are things that we take for granted. But these are good gifts from you, God. So thank you so much for these things. thank you finally and most prominently for providing Jesus Christ, for providing him to come, to live, to die, and to rise again, so that we could be forgiven and enjoy your provision here on earth and then enjoy your provision forever in heaven. God, it fills our hearts with joy and excitement to think about these things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.